We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
And welcome to In the Know, the Hornets 24/7 podcast. Your knowledgeable hosts are Michael McNamara.
Me and a grizzly bear, I'm betting on me.
And me, Ryan Schwan.
I've been playing some Dungeons & Dragons because I'm really cool like that.
Let's get it started. All Hornets, all the time.
Welcome to the show. The Hornets are now 2-6 after opening the season with two quick wins and then rattling off six fairly horrible losses. Michael, what do you want to talk about today with the state of the Hornets the way it is right now?
Well, I don't mean this to sound sarcastic. I'm serious when I ask this question. Were you more surprised by the 2-0 start or the six straight losses? What surprised you more?
2-0 start, absolutely.
Why is that?
Well, because I thought this was a terrible team. I mean, you look at my prediction. I thought we were going to win, 18 games all season. The first game, Phoenix winning by 1 point, I guess that wasn't that big of a surprise. But even with the Celtics being on the third game in four nights, it was the season just started. They shouldn't be that exhausted. So the Hornets pulling that one out and just handing it to them, that was a pretty impressive win. And it left me feeling pretty excited and probably stupidly so.
Yeah. And I mean, the one thing we haven't seen, I mean, we've seen this entire team together for what? Really only the Philadelphia game, right? Mm-hmm. That's the only game. And I'll say, I mean, I'm not as down on this team, at least the healthy version of this team, maybe as you are. That was a nice team for 2.5 quarters in that Philadelphia yep. game. I mean, they did show some potential, but I know a lot of our readers tend to comment that, if and when Eric Gordon gets back, this is a different team. But it really is part of the team dynamic. I mean, you have to account for injuries, and the reason why you make 18-20 win predictions is because the Hornets aren't a team right now that really could sustain injuries to their key players and be competitive, and I think we've kind of seen that in the first couple weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, I still expect people to be traded too, and I expect those to be some of the more stabilizing veterans. So, I mean, I'm not backing off my 18 wins, and unless I want to back the other direction, not up, but down.
Yeah, all right. I have a feeling that there'll probably be a lot of things more slanted towards the negative. But give me some positive observations from these from these first first couple weeks.
Well, I don't know. I've enjoyed watching Jason Smith play.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Are you getting on the Jason Smith bandwagon?
I am. If he keeps sinking that mid-range shot, because, you know, he's never done that before, like last year when he looked awesome for about a month. No, I mean, I think Jason Smith is looked pretty good. Vasquez is a nice backup point guard and somebody that we could hold on to a while. I think we're finding some of those pieces that can be young and be able to support this team. And I like what Dell Demps is trying to do with pieces like Xavier Henry, where, you know, you trade a second round draft pick, which is basically, you know, you have I think it was a 3%. I looked at my numbers. There's a 3% chance of getting not a star, a rotation player. Okay. If you're picking around 40 to 50. So, I mean, just to get a rotation player, you have a 3% chance. I would rather take the risk that the knee injury former lottery pick will give you more than that.
Yeah, that's we haven't had a podcast, and true to his name, Dealer Demps has made two moves since the season began already. So kind of run me by what your thoughts were, both, I guess, first on the Vasquez trade. Vasquez straight up for Quincy Pondexter. And then I know, I guess numbers wise, you talked a little bit about what you think about the trade for Henry, but, what do you think of those trades, both short term and long term?
Oh, I mean, I like both of them. So you said something before, and, you know, just, I got to repeat you essentially. The Hornets had three young small forwards. I mean, because Ariza's still young. And they have Farouk Aminu, who is young. So, I mean, Pondexter, and let's face it, Pondexter had the least amount of talent of that group, in my opinion. I mean, he wasn't going to get any time. And it wasn't fair to Pondexter to hold on to him. And the Hornets had a gaping hole at backup point guard. So if you're able to trade him anywhere and get a player who's at least reasonably decent to fill a hole, you do it. I mean, and Pondexter will now get more of a shot. So really, the player wins, we win. I don't know if Memphis wins, but Memphis's management has never been particularly good at figuring out if they're going to win or not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like it. And if you kind of step back, big picture, I mean, Dell Demps came in about a week after Bauer, I think, had his last penny-pinching move and kind of blew that draft. For people who don't remember, they essentially traded Cole Aldrich, the 11th pick, which would have been Patrick Patterson, but whatever. Mm-hmm. They traded that 11th pick just to get rid of Mo Pete's contract, which just had a year on it, for the 21st and 26th picks. Ended up with Craig Brackens and Quincy Pondexter. Demps comes in. Those probably aren't two guys that that Demps would have taken. And within a year, what he's done is he's essentially taken those picks and swapped them out for Jason Smith, Grievous Vasquez, and then threw in an additional second rounder to get Xavier Henry. So all of a sudden, that 2011, what would have been 11, 10? Yeah, 11 draft that the Hornets weren't, you know, didn't walk out of with a lot of pieces that night. They walk out with that now. And then, of course, you know, Alfred Gaminu comes in the Chris Paul trade. So, yeah, a lot of young guys on the roster, and Demps is doing a lot of the things that, you know, you saw Oklahoma City do as they were suffering mm-hmm. through some bad losing seasons of just picking up this young talent on rookie contracts and having faith in your coaches to develop them.
Right. So, I mean, essentially, what Demps has done is he's proven already that he can work around the margins extremely successfully, and he can turn marginal guys into better marginal guys or minor rotation players into better than minor rotation players, which is very, very good. We have not yet seen if he can pull off the big moves that make a team super successful. Honestly, the trade with the Lakers would have been a big move that would have kept, I mean, so this is the one thing that I love about that trade still, I'm glad it didn't happen, but that was the first trade I can think of in the history of the NBA where you would have traded away a superstar, a bona fide top 10 player, and actually gotten enough pieces back that you would have remained as good as you were with that player.
And you're saying that because you don't think Carmelo Anthony's a superstar, right?
I think Carmelo's a joke.
Okay, so before people start getting mad and saying, well, Denver got better, I just want to clarify that. Right. Yeah, and I agree. And it's tough when you look back on that trade because I think a lot of people at that time said that, oh, that trade would keep the Hornets a 7th or 8th seed. But the Mavericks are struggling this year. The Spurs are without Ginobili for 2 months. Zach Randolph is gone for 2 months. You know, I'm as optimistic about the future as anybody, but there would have been a window here, you know, for the Hornets to be at least contenders in this division the way that it looks like it's shaping out with that trade. But
yeah, but we didn't get that.
Yeah.
So,
well, I guess just the thing that I think people see Dell Demps and Monty Williams kind of tied at the hip, but I think moves like what Dell is doing here, I think we have to remember that Dell, he could only bring in this young talent, and it's kind of on the coaching staff to develop these guys. So I'm really interested to see. I think Dell's making a lot of good moves, you know, but the Hornets, they haven't done a good job for years now of really developing the young guys. I remember in our preseason podcast, this was something that Jason actually brought up where, you know, he said that a big reason why the Chris Paul thing failed in his mind was because the Hornets just didn't develop that young talent. And that's got to change. It's one thing to have a lot of lottery picks and high ceiling guys on your team, but it's really going to be, you know, up to Monty to develop them now. And if he can't, you know, Dell Demps and him, I don't think are tied. He would have to look bringing in a new coach.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't, because they are brought in at the same time and Monty is actually involved in the decision. I mean, I think there probably is a little bit more loyalty there between the two of them than you would expect in a normal situation. But, you know, every GM brings in their guy and every GM is going to get rid of their guy if they feel that that's going to keep them their job. So I wouldn't expect if he didn't feel like his young bucks that he was bringing in were being developed, that Monty would stick around. So we're talking about Monty. I wanted to bring this up really quick. I've seen Monty get murdered recently in some of the, you know, especially the in-game game on posts and stuff like that, talking about how Monty's doing everything wrong. And I just want to say one thing. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit. And the rotations, I mean, I can nitpick them, but he does not have and has not had a complete player at any position on this team except for Eric Gordon, who's played 2 games. You cannot take any player on this team and say he gives you a complete set of the skills you want from that position at any level.
Yeah, I think Monty has some subpar pieces. I mean, there's some decent players on this roster, but not when you compare them against who they're facing every night. I mean, when Eric Gordon is out of the lineup, the Hornets have a below average starter at every position. Maybe you could argue that Okafor is average. Maybe he's a center in the top 12 to 15 range. But even so, if he's the only average to above average player on your roster, you're not going to be able to go to him and get what you need, you know, for victories. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. You could nitpick Monty, but I don't think Red or Auerbach could come in here and lead this team to higher than a, I don't know, in this shortened season, I think 25 to 30 wins, especially if Gordon continues to be out, would be coach of the year talk worthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So where do we go from here?
You said you're right. We've only seen two games of Eric Gordon, but any impressions? Because honestly, if this team franchise is going to turn it around, a lot of it will have to do with the draft, but those guys are going to be 18, 19, 20. The star of this team for at least the next year or two is Eric Gordon. Have you seen anything that you like, dislike in the short amount of time we've gotten to see him?
No, Gordon? Oh, yeah. I mean, he's probably the best at attacking the basket that the Hornets have had since Baron Davis when he was healthy. And he's maybe, well, he's probably, he, there's no maybe. He's a better finisher at the basket than Baron Davis ever really was. I mean, it's hard to go back and find somebody who's got the slashing skills of Eric Gordon that has been on the Hornets roster before this. Eddie Jones, maybe, when he was here for that 1 year. I mean, there's not a lot. So as just having a guy who can purely just attack and get to the rim and draw some free throws and still have a good enough deep shot that they have to respect him, I mean, I think he's got all the offensive, you know, abilities you'd want. And defensively, I was impressed in the two games that he played. He did a pretty good job defensively. So
Yeah. And do you think this issue with his knee is more of an issue of, you know, that it's actually an injury or that it's a shortened season, the Hornets aren't going anywhere this year, let's be cautious?
I think it's an injury, and honestly, it scares the piss out of me. I mean, how the hell do you – I mean, yeah, so they might be being cautious. And, they're definitely being cautious. But the dude has swelling in his knee, and he's out for 3 weeks is the doctor's recommendation. That's never a good thing, ever. I mean, unexplained swelling in a knee is just not a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Gordon himself has said that if it was the playoffs, he'd be playing. I don't know. I don't.
You think it's more of them just taking advantage of it?
I mean, what's the point, really? I mean, there's really no need to rush him back. I just, I don't know. I don't think it's anything degenerative. I don't think it's anything long term. Although I will say that it is kind of eerie that your prediction going into the season was that Gordon would be hurt enough to where he wouldn't get the big contract next season. He would sign the qualifying offer and then be gone the year after that. So that kind of brings me to you playing Dell Demps. Right now, I'm Eric Gordon's agent. I want to get him money. I know he has some injury issues. I know the Hornets are desperate to sign up a guy long-term to be the face of the city as they get a new owner, blah, blah, blah. I come to you and say you could have Eric Gordon for 5-year extension, $70 million. What would your answer be?
No.
Oh, interesting. Why not?
Because he's not a complete player for me, and he's had injury issues in the past. He has some minor injuries now, and that's the kind of money that I would be wanting to pay a surefire, absolutely certain second banana. And this team doesn't have any chance, right? Or we have no idea what they're going to get if they're going to have a first banana. So, I mean, tying yourself up to Eric Gordon, I mean, it just seems like it's way too much of a risk to give that much money to a guy.
Yeah, I would agree with you if I had any faith whatsoever in the team being able to get somebody else's free agent. But I think we've already seen how that plays out. So if it's between Eric Gordon and then paying the next page of Stojakovic, overpaying another, you know, average guy to come in. But
I think, yeah, but see, here's the thing. I mean, we haven't seen the Hornets bring in any sought after free agents other than, I guess you could say, James Posey, who people forget there were a bunch of teams trying to get him and the Hornets overpaid to get him. But then we also haven't seen a GM who wasn't just trying to make a splash to get that, you know, mystical missing piece that would suddenly make the team, you know, amazing. If you have a patient GM, you may be able to find those guys who are willing to come because the team is being built the right way. I mean, If right now, if a player, if, you know, say Dwight Howard was a free agent right this minute, and Oklahoma City trades away Westbrook or something along those lines, and they have a proven track record of being able to build a team, or San Antonio Spurs are rebuilding and they have some nice pieces, do you think that Dwight Howard would say, no, you're a small market, there's no way in hell I'm coming to you? Or would he give it a serious look?
Yeah, and I think that goes to my point of locking Gordon up now, because if you just keep, you know, every guy who's an all-star has all-star potential keeps leaving you, then, you know, there really is no solid foundation. It looks like they just come and go with players. So I think having that face, not only for your fan base, but for other free agents and for people around the league to, you know, stop questioning whether the Hornets are in a state of flux and see that, you know, they're starting to build a foundation. So I would be very tempted to give Gordon that contract. Again, not necessarily because he deserves those exact numbers, but because the Hornets have to do something at some point where they kind of latch on to some kind of anchor. And if we're not going to do that now and just hoping that the upcoming draft, you know, we get that first banana, second banana, whatever you want to call it, I just think basically you're a Knicks fan at that point, and you're always holding out for the next thing. At some point, you got to be happy with what you got. But
as you mentioned the draft, real quick question, because I put my post up there, and we're not going to do much about the draft, of course, right now. But right now, today, Hornets win the number one draft pick. Who do you pick?
Oh, there's no doubt. I'll answer that question, and then I'll also tell you who the Hornets will pick. I've had my Mike Stradamus moment. I already know people don't have to worry about it. I'll already tell you one of the two draft picks. But to answer your first question, it'll be Anthony Davis. I don't think it's even close. To me, I would be absolutely shocked if Anthony Davis isn't a Hall of Famer in 25 years, whatever. I mean, it's that level of vastly above anybody else. I think there's other guys with exciting potential, maybe that are more fun to watch. I know the fan base is starving for offense, and for me to try to sell another defensive player right now, I know people don't want to hear it, but I think Anthony Davis will be the evolution of Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't agree with me and had to make an argument, who would your argument even be for?
If I couldn't take Anthony Davis?
Right.
He's my guy. That's a hard one. I would probably end up with Drummond. And again, this is one of those things. This is what always happens. People, like, there's this the almost surefire guy who, you know, is Anthony Davis. And then there's the second guy whose current skill level is pretty low, but his ceiling is so freaking high. And so people are like, well, if I pass on him and he turns into a mega, mega superstar, I'm going to be murdered for the rest of my life.
But and that is true. I mean, Emeka Okafor, Dwight Howard, right? Everybody was telling the Magic to take the sure thing, and Emeka and Tracy McGrady wanted him to, and blah, blah, and they took Dwight Howard. So, I mean, that does hold true sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so Drummond, again, he's one of those guys. He could be the next, you know, Andrew Bynum is what I'm seeing from him. I mean, he could turn into that kind of player pretty quickly. I mean, he could become much better than that. I just don't see it right now. So, I mean, I'm just scared to death he's going to be, you know, the Eddie Curry, the, you know, all those. I mean, if you look at the history of the second pick of the draft, Darko Milicic and all them, I mean, it's a horrid run. And it's because people are just like, I got to try to hit the all-star.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I'm kind of doing the same thing. It's like, I know that right this minute, Perry out of Baylor is a better basketball player than Drummond. I know Barnes is a better basketball player than Drummond. And I know probably, I would even say Kidd Gilchrist is a better basketball player than Drummond. But I would take Drummond because he could be a better basketball player than them.
Right. Yeah, no, Drummond would be my second, more just because he's rare, and I don't think he'll be a bust. I don't think he'll be a Hall of Famer. I think he's more athletic than Bynum. I kind of like the more defensive minded, not as good of a shooter, but athletic Amari Stoudemire comparison. Like Amari Stoudemire around the basket on offense. Mm-hmm. And much better on defense.
And here's the thing. I mean, people forget Amari Stoudemire's game isn't dunking.
Right.
Drummond shoots free throw. He's a 33% free throw shooter.
Right.
This dude cannot shoot.
No, that's why I said Amari around the basket. But yeah, not obviously not Amari's game from 7.
And then isn't that just like getting DeAndre Jordan or Tyson Chandler?
Yeah, maybe DeAndre. DeAndre Jordan in his Christmas Day game from this year,
right?
Had like 6 blocks or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. One of the names you brought up, I could tell you right now with certainty, no doubt in my mind that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist will be a Hornet next year.
I would love it.
Okay, so what do you like about him? And then
Kidd-Gilchrist,
he will be a Hornet.
Every story you read about him, I mean, just the leadership aspect of him.
Right.
I mean, I love everything. I'm eating up those little stories. And maybe he has the best publicist in the world, but I'm eating up that shit.
Yeah. The Breakfast Club story. Judd Hirsch. Yeah.
No, he can't shoot. I mean, he can do it okay, but he's not like the amazing shooter Barnes is, or even like that Bradley Beal guy are. But he can slash. He never quits. He's defensively very, very good. He's just got that. I worry because that's kind of what I said about Corey Brewer, and we've seen his offensive game was so bad that he hasn't been able to get a spot. But I think he's better than Corey Brewer.
I mean, you know who he reminds me a lot of, and this guy wasn't a shooter coming out either, and he developed it a little later on, is Kerry Kittles. But bigger. I mean, a bigger version of Kerry Kittles that could hit the boards, but I really see a lot of that, some of the lankiness, the ability to go 100 miles an hour, finish in different ways. I really like Kidd-Gilchrist, and I can't imagine him being on the board with, like you say, his high character, his leadership, his work on and off the court. I just can't see Dell Demps passing on that guy. Unless the Hornets have a top 3 pick, which, as you know, as much as we joke around at how bad they look, all you got to do is look at the Eastern Conference and teams that are a mess like the Sacramento Kings. And, unless the Hornets get lucky with a ping pong ball, I don't think they're going to have one of the 3 worst records in the NBA. But if the Hornets are sitting there at 4, 5, 6, 7, and, those higher ceiling guys, the big guys are off the board, I just cannot see any way that Dell Demps would pass on them.
No.
But yeah, we are talking too much draft, but a little bit, this is a little draft related, but it also gets us into the here and now. As most people know, the Hornets have Minnesota's number 1 pick this upcoming year, and actually starting on Thursday, Hornets 24/7 is going to be running a piece every week, every Thursday, called Tracking the Timberwolves, where we kind of look back at their past week, some of their trends, what they're doing, and put out our best voodoo wishes against Kevin Love. Nothing serious, just for this year. Maybe he'll go on the Beach Boys tour, something like that. Just get him out of Minnesota. But I look at Minnesota. I've watched every minute of every one of their games. I know I have no life. And it just leaves me wondering, how good are they? Are they a team that could possibly make the playoffs in the West?
I expect them to make the playoffs as a 7 seed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Take us through that thinking.
So I expect that. I mean, there's the clear top pecking order in the West is Denver, L.A., Portland, OKC, and San Antonio.
Wait, which L.A.?
Oh, the Clippers.
Oh, okay.
I don't actually think that the Lakers are as fantastic as they seem to be. I think they're definitely a bottom seed. They're one of like the probably the 6th. So I mean, basically,
so Denver, Portland, OKC, San Antonio, Clippers. Mm-hmm. So that's five. Okay.
Yeah. And then Lakers, I think, will take the sixth spot. And I think everybody else is fighting for the 7, 8, 9, 10 spots.
So you think Minnesota is going to finish ahead of Dallas?
I do.
Wow.
I really hate Dallas. And maybe that's a bias, but I think I mean, the best player on that team in the game we just watched was Delonte West.
But, I mean, do you think these teams are – I mean, in the old 82-game system, we would say wait 30 games before you really see what kind of team you have. I mean, do you think you're being a little unfair? Do you think this is the Dallas team that we're going to see in March?
So do you think that Dallas needs weeks to put itself together?
Oh, yeah. I think their rotation is vastly different than it was last year.
I don't know. I don't see it that different from the end of last year.
I mean, really, who's getting the same minutes on that team? Dirk, Jason Terry, and Sean Marion?
And Kidd when he's healthy.
But he's not there. They're working in Roddy Bubois. At that position, they got Vince Carter, Delonte West, who you just mentioned, their center position. They lost that call. Yeah, I think people like to think that that team has a lot of continuity, but I think that team is working in as many new and different players or even some of the same old players that just have different roles as anybody.
Okay.
So you're saying Minnesota 7. So then I guess in your scenario, Minnesota would be in the playoffs, and you say the Memphis Grizzlies, the darling of the Western Conference last year, they're out.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Randolph being down for that length of time is going to murder them and make it just so that they're just looking in, but not in the playoffs.
Wow. That was a lot of teams, a lot of people's dark house.
Let me qualify that a little more. Zach Randolph isn't it playing, so that's going to hurt them a lot. Conley has been struggling with injuries, and they don't seem to be clearing up. Maybe they will shortly, but that hurts them at the point guard because they traded away Vasquez. And then, honestly, Rudy Gay sucks, and he's playing a lot of minutes for them.
All right. I guess I'm not as down. I think the Western Conference is clear-cut playoff teams. I think you're going to have the same teams you had last year, just with Chris Paul and the Clippers replacing Chris Paul and the Hornets. But I thought I was making a strong case by saying that I think Minnesota is the ninth best team in the Western Conference, but you just you one-upped me as you try to do by going seventh. But anyway, fun thing to watch, just to keep interested. When these Hornets games are tough, and I guess speaking of tough, we could kind of talk about the upcoming schedule as we do at the end of all these podcasts. I don't know how far in advance you want to go. I guess we could just talk about this week and revisit it. But the Hornets just have a absolutely brutal January in which, I would guess right now that maybe for one or two of the 13 remaining games, maybe the Hornets will be slightly favored. But I could honestly see them being an underdog in every single one of these next 13 games, especially if Eric Gordon's not going to play.
Yeah, when I did the season the schedule preview, back when the schedule finally came out, I remember January, it was like a frantic rush of games. I think there was 18 games in this month, which is crazy. But it's also the quality of the opponents. I mean, so, yeah, this week we get Denver, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Memphis. And that right there is, I mean, two mediocre teams, two good teams. But then after that, Portland, Memphis, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Orlando, Atlanta, Miami. Pick a team there. I mean, Houston, maybe.
Yeah.
That's all I can, Memphis, because Rudy Gay's playing.
Yeah, gosh, you really hate on Rudy Gay. Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's the rest of January. And really, if you had to pick a game, if you look at that schedule and you say, okay, well, this is a gimme win and this is a game that we should win, you know, the old saying, win the games that you should win. Well, what, I don't know what those games would be for the Hornets this month, especially without Gordon. So it's good.
We're so pessimistic. It's just, wow.
I mean, all I'm saying is, okay, fine. I'm just talking about Las Vegas. Las Vegas will say that they're underdogs in every game this month.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I expect the Hornets to luck into two, maybe three wins over the course of this month.
But I will say, I mean, of all the games this year, even the ones the Hornets won, I think I enjoyed that Dallas one last night the most because, you know, Aminu went for 15 and 12. I got to see a little bit of Gustavo Ayon. I don't know. The losing isn't as painful for me as I thought it would have been, especially, I mean, let's just be honest. This season's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bulls got beat by, I mean, I looked up last night. They were down by 20, 30 points. Like, it's just, it's an absolute joke. Teams basically go on the road and lay down. You know, they're on the second night of a back-to-back every other day, or they're playing 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 6. It's ridiculous. I don't even consider this regular season as real. I think it's just a little bit ridiculous. If there's any season where I could be okay with my team losing, it would be this one. It doesn't even feel like a real season the way that the games are being played. I know my wife even the other night asked me, does Minnesota play every night? And she did it in that exact voice.
Right.
But I mean, she thought I was watching a replay because literally every night, the Hornets and or Minnesota are on. It's, I don't know. It's a little ridiculous. So it doesn't hurt as bad as I thought it would, and it's good because, I mean, you got a guy like Aminu who was just awful in the first 7 games, and then, you know, you see a little bit of potential. I think you said in your recap a better offensive version of Ariza you think you could see in a couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if he'll – I mean, Ariza is a really clever, determined defensive player. So it's hard me saying that because, you know, that's just as much of a skill as any of the offensive things, and I'm not sure Aminu will ever reach that level of defense. But he's right now a good defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
And he at least shows that he has the offensive abilities that could develop and to be better. I mean, let me just put it this way. Of course, Ariza is such a bad offensive player that Aminu probably is his equal at the moment. So I mean, if Aminu can just stop making the boneheaded turnovers,
right?
He's already as good as Ariza, if not better, on the offensive end.
Yeah, and one other thing that stood out to me in your recap, and I completely agree, and I think this is a point I was trying to make a couple weeks ago, is I did like the little bit I saw from Gustavo. But I think in there you put that he would add a couple more easy buckets if his guards would have actually seen him pull to the basket. And this is what I'm talking. I love the fact that Jack is trying, that he's trying to take the mantle from his friend Chris Paul and keep this team in playoff contention. But this is what I'm talking about, where the Hornets just need a pass first, maybe even a pass only type of point guard in there to be getting these young developing guys the kind of shots that are going to give them confidence and to give them reps, because, you know, Jack is trying to keep them in games by scoring, and some nights he's successful, but really that's not going to help with the overall development of some of these young guys.
Yeah, I mean, Jack's problem, and it's always been his problem throughout his career, is he is a fine point guard when it comes to bringing the ball up and starting a possession. If he's getting set plays. But Jack, once he decides what he's going to do, there is no improvisation.
Right.
I mean, he is either going to score or he is going to pass. And there isn't any – I mean, you'll never see him. Once he gets past the – once he starts dribbling and attacking, and once he gets past that three-point line, unless it's like a lucky dump in the paint because somebody cut and he gets cut off, he is not passing. You will never see him drive in and kick to the corner unless that's clearly what he intended to do in the first place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a problem. I mean, Vasquez does it better, but Vasquez has his own issues, so.
Yeah, no, I like the pickup of Vasquez. He's made some beautiful passes off of pick and rolls, primarily with Okafor already this year, and you could kind of see the potential. Hopefully Jack could kind of pull back the reins a little bit and not feel like he has to do the scoring every night and could get the development of some of these young guys. I guess any games that stand out this week to you?
Well, I'll leave the one that you obviously want. It's your other favorite team. So I will talk Oklahoma City, I think. So these are the newly crowned best team in the West. I'm not sure if I can agree with that wholeheartedly yet.
Mm-hmm.
Their front line's offensive challenges have been crazy. And though I think Harden off the bench is a fantastic weapon, I don't know if you have that much of a donut hole team. I mean, there hasn't been a really successful donut hole team since the Bulls. And you can't tell me right now that they have the talent the Bulls did. So do you see them already being in the position to be the best team in the West and a likely championship winner?
Almost by default, yeah. I mean, I love the Portland and Denver stories, and those are the teams that are built for a shortened season. Lot of depth, a lot of good young, but they're not going to win the seven-game series against teams with superstars. San Antonio would be my dark horse only because if Ginobili could come back healthy, you know, he'll have the kind of legs, having not gone through this season, to possibly carry them in the playoffs. The Lakers, I can't see, although I do like, you know, I do like them defensively a lot better this year. I just don't think that they'll have the perimeter shooting, and I don't think Kobe's willing to bow down yet to Bynum and Gasol like he should. So I don't know if I love Oklahoma State as much as I just dislike the rest of the Western Conference. Oklahoma State would be really bad. Oklahoma City would be maybe my fourth team in the East, but in the West, it would almost be by default. I mean, who would you take if not them? If I give you any team right now.
You stole my thunder. San Antonio is my pick to come out of the West.
Really?
Yeah, I think that while their record's going to suffer because of Manu going down, I think they make their last run, and I think Manu going down may even help them because he'll be coming in a little refreshed and ready to roll near the end of the season and be able to push them through the playoffs. I mean, something about San Antonio, I just have a feeling that they're going to make a little run this year and have their last hurrah.
Yeah, history is on their side with the shortened season. I think one interesting thing to look at with Oklahoma City maybe in the future is they did just lose their backup point guard, Eric Maynor, for the season.
Yeah.
You know, if Jared Jack is one of those guys that the Hornets are going to be looking to move, you know, Oklahoma City just has a ton of assets, a ton of picks acquired from, you know, kind of around the bend. So
we'll trade them, Jared Jack, for a pick and Thabo Sefolosha.
Oh, God.
So we can have another defensive master.
They would never do that. No, if I got a pick, I'd be happy.
Honestly, I'll just say this flat out. Okafor, Landry, who, by the way, we can't trade without his permission because he's on a one-year contract. So Okafor, Landry, Ariza, Jack, I don't really want to see any of them in uniform next year. And if we get...
What about Kamen?
Well, Kamen's not going to be in a uniform next year because his contract's up and he'll go somewhere else. So any of those guys, if they can flip any of those guys for late first-round picks or in some situations, even second rounders, do it.
So you're not holding out for Derek Williams anymore for Okafor?
Oh, I think that ship sailed.
Oh, yeah. That was possible. Ever. No, I completely agree with you. And not only just to move those guys in those contracts, but, you know, to get guys like Aminu the playing time so he could have nights like he did against Dallas, you know, mixed in with his horrible efforts. But, no, I agree. But you can't just fill up this roster with a bunch of 20, 22-year-olds. There does have to be some veterans on this team, but I don't see Okafor and Ariza as the type of guys who, you know, I don't think Ariza pulls Aminu aside every day and, you know, and teaches him little tricks of the trade or, you know, is really guiding him. I think, you know, I know I said somebody like Shane Battier in our season preview, but it's got to be somebody like that where there are going to always be veterans on these teams, but they've got to be more, you know, vocal and more leaders and, you know, guys like Willie Green, but he's gone now.
I was about to say, maybe we should trade for Willie Green.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I am going to take the Minnesota game because it is kind of a win-win and a lose-lose, you know, type of game, I guess. You know, somebody is going to have to get a win in that game where if you're just looking at these two teams as lottery ping pong balls, you know, you would want both of them to have as many as possible. But I think people are going to be really surprised who haven't been watching this Minnesota team. I mean, I know their record is 3-5 and they were 2-5 before Sunday. And yeah, they got a win over the lowly Wizards, but honestly, this team could easily be 6-2, maybe even 7-1. There was only one game I saw that they, you know, they really weren't in it. A lot of the other games, honestly, Michael Beasley lost for them. For some reason, they feel like they owe it to that guy to get him the ball down the stretch when, you know,
he's terrible.
He's horrible. And not only is he horrible, but their offense is so beautiful when he's not on the court. I mean, just they run that Adelman offense that's just so smooth. The ball is moving. People are moving. You know, it's just such a beautiful offense to watch. And Beasley just absolutely kills it. So Beasley's injured now. And in the first game he was injured, they had a blowout victory. So I think we all have to – well, us Hornets fans have to send him our well wishes and hope he gets back soon, because if he's out for an extended period of time, I think it is possible that Minnesota could sneak into the playoffs. That team is so much fun to watch, and Kevin Love is right there, top 8, top 10 player. I think I was a guy who on this podcast last year said he was getting his numbers on a bad team. But that's mm-hmm. not the case. Kevin Love is a legitimate. I mean, I know I still got to bow down to Dirk because of what he did in last year's finals. But as far as how people are playing today, right now, to me, Kevin Love is the number one power forward.
And better than Blake Griffin?
Yeah, I would take him over Blake Griffin only because Love can do more things. I mean, you've got to guard him out to the three-point line. He's hitting 2 3-pointers a game. He's yep. hitting them at, I think it's mid-40s percentage-wise. He could take you outside. He could kill you on the boards. He's not going to win the highlight battle with Blake Griffin. But, yeah, I would take Kevin Love over Blake Griffin today. So that team's a lot of fun to watch. Rubio is as good as advertised. He sees the floor really well. And they just got a lot of fun young talent, but really to me the difference is Adelman. That offense is so much fun to watch, and you know, it just makes you hope that the Hornets could get the pieces in the next couple of years where they could run something like that.
I mean, I know they don't want to, but they really just need to look around the league and find anybody, anyone, anywhere who will take Beasley off their hands. And then, of course, the reason why they're starting him is if they put him to the bench, he's going to just be a cancer.
Right.
And he's going to destroy what little trade value he already has. I mean, he's already been traded once for, what was it, two second-round draft picks?
Yeah, just to get him off the books, yep.
Right. So, I mean, this isn't – he's not a good player. And so they – I think they just need to suck it up and call Charlotte and say, look, Maggette's injured. He won him for a second-round draft pick or two. We'll take that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's he's the only thing keeping Minnesota down right now. But yeah, so that'll be an interesting game. You know, I wouldn't expect Henry to play this week, but perhaps you know, next week we'll be able to see him.
And, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about him.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was a guy that, especially coming out, you know, people saw as being able to, at the very least, be a defensive stopper at both the two and the three, with the ability to refine his game and be able to score in the pros as well. So another guy on a cheap contract, you know, and the Hornets just have to do a good job of developing him. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if him and maybe even Ion at some point this year were sent down to the D League, just to get some reps down there, at least until some of these veterans that we've kind of been talking about are traded. But it's going to be an interesting year. I just hope people could hold in there, enjoy the basketball that we see, look for the positive in the developments and some of the guys like Aminu, and guys like Jason Smith, who I don't think I have to argue with anymore that he's an elite fifth big man and a very good fourth big man on a team.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, I look at all the contenders and I think he would get playing time on maybe everyone except for Oklahoma City. And that's only because they have a guy in Nick Collison who's pretty much the same. But I think Jason Smith would get minutes on almost anybody else. So good find. Good find, Dell.
And it cost us Craig Bracken.
That's right.
And Darius Sengala.
Oh,
wow.
What a trade. Go down in the history books.
That's right. All right, so I guess we're finished then. We'll, of course, be back on Sunday of next week to talk more. So keep an eye out and give us any sort of comments or send us email or Twitter messages if you have anything you'd like us to talk about next week. Let's have a long time really each and every day. It's a party town, ain't nothing but a party. Down by New Orleans, a land of red games, slot machine, voodoo queen, voodoo dream.
Hey guys, it's Mike. As you know, I adopted my pup Rocky from a local rescue. Now, when people asked me what kind of dog Rocky was, I was always stumped. I used an Embark dog DNA test to decode my most puzzling questions about Rocky. You can also learn about your dog's inner secrets with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test. Unlock over 350 breeds and screen for over 200 genetic health risks. Save $50 on a breed and health kit with promo code KIT at EmbarkVet.com. Again, that's promo code KIT.